entertainment news for you.
Brought to you by
Window Nation and All Pro Foundation Repair.
And here he is, Dave.
And I'm joined by my best friend on the radio.
Oh, thank you.
Gordon Key.
Yep. Oh, not you, Corby.
Damn it.
Hi, Gordon.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. Are you at the Muser's Bunker?
I am in the Muser's Bunker, yes, indeed.
Good spot.
How's the tortoise or turtle?
You know what? I just, like, ran in right before the segment, so I don't know, but I have her pinned up in an indoor area. Over not here. Inside, but
what?
An indoor-outdoor area. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Is this of your choosing?
Yeah, I put her in because she disappeared on me the other day, and I went looking for her and finally found this new hiding place that she has, and I just looked around and noticed what I felt was coyote scat out there, so I was a bit worried about her, so I brought her into a protected area.
Well, coyotes you eat love, turtles?
You love to identify scat.
Yeah, that's your thing now.
Like, how many different animals can you identify their scat?
I was trying to make sure that it was coyote scat, so I went online and Googled scat videos.
Yeah. Right.
And
what were you able to find out?
I will never be the same again.
Yeah. And that's what your family's going to see. Bob, unfortunately, Googled
Felching.
Well, Dave used it so casually.
And we were worried that that was going to be, he was going to get in a crash on the way home and his kids were going to find his computer and do a search for his history. And that was the last thing he searched.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't need to know about that.
You did not.
What is that?
I don't even
know. All right, here's Dave.
Yeah, let's have Bob find out or describe what he found on Urban Dictionary.
I've already deleted the hard drive.
All right, we need to say goodbye to a Hollywood great, as Donald Sutherland has passed away at the age of 88. He died today in Miami after a long illness.
He's so great, dude. He really is epitomizes that old generation of just sturdy, quality actors. Everything he did, it was effortless. He was funny. He could be funny. He could be tense,
intense. He could be menacing.
All of it. He was great.
Yeah, so he says that he had a kind of meandering career very early on in the 60s, but then his career really took off when he was cast in The Dirty Dozen in 1967. And then that led to him being cast in MASH in 1970, and that turned him into a huge star. He was never nominated for an Oscar, but he was lauded for his roles in Ordinary People and Without Limits, the Prefontaine story. And, of course, the kids today know him as President Snow in The Hunger Games and all of those sequels.
And The Hunger Games?
The Hunger Games. You know what I'm saying. And he only appeared on screen with Kiefer once in A Time to Kill in 96. And he actually turned down the role of Jack Bauer's father in 24. He didn't want to do it. I don't know why.
Huh.
But, yeah, R.I.P., to Donald Sutherland.
By the way, he turned down an Animal House. He played the professor that was dating one of the students, Karen Allen, as a matter of fact, from I love Karen Allen, from Indiana Jones. But they ended up paying him $35,000 for his role in Animal House. But they offered him, because they didn't have a lot of money, they offered him 2% of Animal House's total gross, which ended up making hundreds of millions of dollars. And he was just like, there's no way this thing's going to make any money. And he turned it down.
He's looking at all these clowns on the set.
Yeah, they said he would have made over $20 million if he would have taken the deal.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, another celebrity in trouble for getting too wasted. So we had JT getting hit up.
John Taylor?
No.
It's his birthday today.
No.
Wow.
Justin Timberlake. He was smacked with a DUI in the Hamptons the other day. Now, Travis Scott. He was arrested early this morning at 4:35 in the morning in Miami Beach for disorderly intoxication and trespassing. So he was on a charter boat at Miami Beach Marina. He was on a yacht partying, and I guess officers were called to the marina because Travis Scott was having a dispute with the boat's crew, and he was asked to leave, so he left. Then he came back and argued with the crew some more, and then they asked him to leave, and he refused, and at that point he was arrested. And so arresting officers said that they could sense a strong smell of alcohol coming from Travis Scott's breath, and they asked him if he had been drinking, and he said, "It's Miami." Like, of course.
That's what I always say. Every time I'm asked if I'm drinking, I always just say, "It's Miami."
That's kind of awesome.
Right?
I mean, come on,
I'm
dude.
I'm on a yacht in Miami. Of course I'm loaded.
Right.
Yeah. Also, in hip-hop news, as I am your foremost hip-hop enthusiast on the program.
You are.
Tyler, the Creator, has mysteriously canceled a couple of headlining performances. He was supposed to headline Lollapalooza in Chicago next month and Outside Lands Music Festival in San Francisco. And he issued a statement saying, "I hate saying this, but I have to cancel Lollapalooza and Outside Lands. I made a commitment that I can no longer keep, and that bums me out knowing how excited folks were. That is not sexy at all. Please, please forgive me or call me names when you see me in person. Love, T."
T.
And so already these festivals have scrambled for the replacement. So Lollapalooza has...
like he's a nighttime headliner.
Yeah, he is the headliner. I'm not sure which night. Thursday at Lollapalooza. Yeah, so Thursday at Lollapalooza is now going to be headlined by Megan Thee Stallion.
Mm-hmm.
Outside Lands, they have replaced Tyler with Sabrina Carpenter. She is going to be headlining.
I just found out that she's a human.
The youngest Carpenter.
No, she has nothing to do with the Carpenters. She's a blonde gal that apparently is friends with Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
A teenage witch.
And she is dating Barry Keoghan.
Who's that?
Guy who invented exercises?
No. Kegel. Not Kegel. Keoghan. He was in Banshees of Inisherin. You know him.
Yeah, I'm looking at him now.
He looks in Saltburn.
Is he some form of Asian?
No, he's like Irish or something.
Wow.
Irish Asian? Is he Irish?
No, Corby.
Now, Tyler, the Creator, is still scheduled to headline...
Diagnosing people with Asian.
Austin City Limits. So he hasn't canceled that yet, but I guess if you have tickets to ACL and you are looking forward to seeing Tyler, the Creator, just be on standby.
Okay.
Because we don't know why he's canceling this stuff.
Yeah, I'm sad. And...
So, we'll see. Gordon, I know you are always interested in artists selling their catalogs.
Yes.
And this one...
I'm looking to do that.
Yeah, what do you think you could get for your songbook?
Also my character book from the ticket. I'm looking to sell all that.
I thought Cumulus owned all that.
Technically, they do, but there's workarounds.
Not mine.
Yeah.
You have IP?
Yeah.
I have IP.
All right. Well, Queen...
Still, it's only worth $100.
Queen has finally sold its catalog. The buyer, Sony has been circling this for years now, and evidently they have finally closed the deal. They are acquiring the Queen music catalog for $1.27 billion.
Okay, this has got to be the high. Mackerel. This is the high watermark.
It's got to be.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, all these people that have sold in the past, I don't know what the biggest number is, but I want to say it's half of that.
What did Bruce sell his for?
See,
Dylan.
Yeah, I think Dylan was a couple of $100 million, and I think Bruce may have been four. I'll have to look that up.
400?
Yeah, but dude. All right.
It is crazy, though, how, Queen, I think the kids still listen to Queen. Like,
yeah.
Queen is still relevant in rotation.
They really are.
Okay, Gordon. Springsteen, I was close, sold for $550 million.
Okay.
Dylan, I want to say it was maybe two. Let's see. So,
is this the argumentative teenager?
No, it's Bob.
No. Yeah, I know Bob asked it, but I'm saying. Is it Dylan, the argumentative teenager?
Okay, so two things while you're looking that up. Things that are weird about this. So they're paying, Sony is paying. Well, that, if that, that is part of the catalog. Tie-in.
Please don't just blurt that out.
Oh.
Like, sorry. I don't know if Sony is getting all of Freddie Mercury's felching straws.
Oh my gosh, that was just sad.
$250 million
$250 million
For Dylan?
For Dylan, yeah.
Okay, but
$250,000
So they paid.
Hold on, Peyton.
They paid $1.27 billion But that does not include live performances. So Brian May and Roger Taylor keep those rights. So when they go out on tour, they keep the gate.
Yep.
That doesn't go to Sony. And.
Well, that's never part of the buying the catalog, is it?
Well, so I guess it depends on what's negotiated, but they are keeping that. But here's the weird part is that it, at some point in the early 2000s, Disney acquired the Queen recorded music rights. So not publishing, but the recorded music rights in the US and Canada. And those rights remain with Disney in perpetuity. So that's not part of it.
I have to confess, I've never understood any of this.
I know, because like, there's so many pieces
to me, but publishing and rights and then copyright, and I don't understand any of that
stuff.
What
I don't understand, I know they're playing the long game, is that, you know, $1.2 billion. Okay, how do you make that up? I mean, they're... How many opportunities are there to capitalize?
Well, I mean, they're hoping that Queen's music remains relevant for the next 50, 100 years.
I know, that's what I'm saying, the long game, but this is such a short-term society.
I know.
When it comes to finances, that it's weird for a 50-year-old guy that's involved in this to go like, you know what? In 200 years, we're going to break even or whatever it is.
Yeah, because it's a lot of money. It's over $1 billion.
What's the difference between who owns the recordings, like the actual master recordings of these things?
You mean, is that Disney?
No, I'm saying that in this case, in Queen's case, who owns the recordings, and when those recordings are played, who gets paid?
So I would
because you make it sound like buying the catalog that they just bought the songs, and so if anyone re-records them, then the money goes to this new group.
They have the publishing and they have the international distribution, but U.S. and Canada, the recorded distribution is with Disney. So maybe they will end up trying to wrestle that away from Disney in a separate deal, but it's just weird how complicated it is. All right,
was this the same group that bought everybody else's? There's like one or two main groups that buy everybody's catalogs.
Sony has been a big player.
Yeah.
There is another big player, and I can't remember the name of it, that is they specialize in
like John Deere.
Yeah, it is John Deere.
Dan Marino.
Tractors and publishing.
Dan Marino.
Last thing, did you hear the story about Howie Mandel and his wife?
No. I just saw something that she got injured in an alcohol-related accident.
Yeah, so he's setting the record straight because they were hanging out in Vegas, and he said that in the middle of the night, she got up and she walked into a wall and then fell and hit the wainscoting on the wall. And so she hit her eye and then she broke her cheek on the floor. And he said that he grabbed her and put her on the bed and grabbed towels to try and soak up the blood, and that he could see her skull. Like the cut was so deep that he could see her skull.
That is hot.
And
let me guess, the internet started creating stories that were not Howie's story.
No, what happened was, I guess initially he intimated that they had been partying and that she was tipsy. Well, I guess she was hearing from friends and family members that thought she maybe had an alcohol problem. And so he has gone back and corrected the record and said she wasn't drunk. She had taken too many gummies.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why she walked straight into a wall and broke her head open.
Yep.
So you got to be careful on those gummies.
All right. In 3 minutes, let's come back and do the rant revival as we have unearthed my Kevin Spacey controversial interview from 1999. Next.
Yes.
He's animalistic and he just wants to get his.
God, it could have been me.
Could have. I wish it had.
In the bed. You do.
Would you have done it, Corby? Just to have, just to have the story.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. God, this could be a great story.
I can't wait to tell Chris.
And my wife. They're going to love this.
Cool.
Did win an Oscar.
Yes. How many guys have had sex with Kevin Spacey in the back of a limo with a P1 driver?
The P1 driver. Look, he's just trying to, on his flip phone, trying to get some snaps of Corby bent over the back seat.
Right.
Oh.
Well, there you go. Hmm. There is Kevin Spacey.
Lovingly.
Loving. So great.
All right,
Twitch
Gordon.
Tonight, 7:35.
Ah, twitching. Yeah.
Twitch, yeah, indeed.
Twitch.tv/actualGordonKeith, P1 Hangout.
And all right, we'll see you tomorrow at Summer Chill, bruh.
Indeed.
Indeed, indeed. All right, thanks, Gordon. We'll talk to you later.
All right, love you.
Love you, too. There he goes, the great Gordon Keith. Point exactly when it was, but the phone rang at the front desk, and I'm not even joking. And I believe that our esteemed receptionist was Ronnie at the time.
JoJo?
Hello, Corby.
Hey, Ronnie. And this is the spawning of Michelle Wee, the character, because we determined that Ronnie always was so frail and so weak because she
spoke so softly.
And she only wanted one morsel of sugar, not the whole pack of sugar. She wanted one piece of sugar
to help sustain her.
Did she arrive in this country on the belly of a jackal?
No, no.
That was all added later.
So anyway, phone rings and they asked for me, and so I went to my desk that I shared, not with Gordon, we sat next to each other.
No, you shared it with Fernando.
Oh yeah, that's right. And it was the guy, I picked up the phone and he goes, hey, this is so-and-so, I'm a limo driver. Kevin Spacey is in my limo right now, and I just sold him that you're the guy that he needs to talk to help promote whatever he's promoting. I'm like, Kevin Spacey. So at the time, Kevin Spacey was on a run of The Usual Suspects, which I think he won an Academy Award for that.
American Beauty, right?
Yeah, he went from The Usual Suspects to A Time to Kill to L.A. Confidential to American Beauty. So four movies that were all nominated for Best Picture. He was nominated and won, you know, for The Usual Suspects. He was amazing in American Beauty, obviously.
And so this was just a P1 limo driver.
Yes, a P1 limo driver. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I ran back into the studio and put a headset on, and we figured out, you know, the connection, and boom. So I will say, as we play this, the Holy Grail is not here, because the Holy Grail of this is...
when you guys had sex?
The uncomfortable moment where he propositioned me, and I was unaware of the proposition. And I'll get to that after we play the interview, because he did ask me to go hang out with him. All right? Which I turned down. That is not in here.
You got that, Gordon?
Well, why did you tell us all that before the end of...
Well, because I don't want to... I'm not...
the storytelling.
No. I'm not going to sell you on the fact that this was part of it, because I think that's crappy radio. But...
Uh-uh.
Yeah. But it is interesting to take a look back at this to see how he was perceived and to see how he reacted to certain questions. Okay? So this was, I thought this was about, in my head, I thought there was another movie he was promoting, but, and he was so into this that he dropped off the line and immediately had the limo driver call the radio station back to find me. So I think that this, like, he really enjoyed me. Okay. And so this is, I had a cassette that I found about 2 months ago that just said Spacey. I had no idea it existed, had no clue. And so we found a cassette player up here, Ty Wubker did. And so here we're rejoining the interview. So this is only a couple of minutes long, but we're rejoining the interview after we had dropped off.
Well, no one has really had anything bad to say about this movie, from critics to just normal movie going people. And it's because I think of not only Sam and the script, but also the cast with Annette Bening and Thora Birch and Wes Bentley, who I know that guy, he's something special.
Yeah. Yeah, Wes is another example of somebody who, quite young, he's, I believe he's just 20 now, and he's a year out of Juilliard where he went to study, and this is really his debut film, and he does give quite a stunning performance. I think that what I tend to try to do is to just ask people not to listen to all the hype. you know, and go experience the movie for yourself. I think that there tends to be, and it's funny, you know, on the one hand, there's a lot of movies that open and deserve to be hyped and talked about and nobody ever hears about, and then there's a lot of movies that open that get so much hype you can't believe it, and you go and see them, and they're great disappointments. So I'm hoping that even though we are at the moment the recipient of a great deal of attention, that people will go and find that the movie is satisfying and is enjoyable and very, very funny, and that they won't be dissuaded by all the positive things they're hearing. It's a heck of a lot better to have positive things being said than negative.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it uncomfortable for you at all? I mean, you know, when I saw the movie for the first time, and I, you know, you immediately see the attraction that you have for Mena Suvari, and it's funny. You know, it was funny to me, but was it uncomfortable for you at all trying to portray this role as this guy who's going after this 16-year-old?
No, not in the least, because it's not about a relationship that they have. It's about a fantasy life that he uncovers in himself, and it's not that they don't really have a relationship. He just sort of fantasizes about her, and there's nothing wrong with a fantasy life.
Pause it right there.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Is that not a little weird, knowing the context of what 25 years later or 20 years later, what he turned into, about being predatory towards 15, 16, 17-year-olds?
Yeah, I mean, she just happened to be the wrong gender.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, so it was, he was just acting.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting the way that he was so, when this limo driver pitched him on, hey, there's this young guy on a station that appeals to mainly men that you really need to talk to. And then, of course, he hears your voice, and you get stupid, Corby, crackling puberty voice. And then he's like, we got disconnected. Call him back immediately.
No.
God, I got to keep talking to this guy.
I mean, how many guys, again, this is the apex of his career, and he's talking to a guy that's on the radio from 10 to noon in Dallas, basically, as a producer, and scrambling to call him back. Like, it's really...
The limo driver pitched him on.
Yeah, the limo driver. Okay,
go ahead. You gotta love him.
He just sort of fantasizes about her, and there's nothing wrong with a fantasy life. You just happen to see it in this movie. But toward the end of the movie, I think that anybody who stays and sees the movie and watches it and pays attention to what these characters are going through, they'll realize that what those two characters end up teaching each other about themselves and their own lives is actually kind of a breathtaking message.
Yeah, I agree with you. Now, what about some of the pot-smoking scenes? You look like you enjoyed doing that. I mean, it looked like you were having fun doing that.
Oh, we had a ball doing that. It was a hysterical time for particularly the scene with Wes and I in the back of the alley, because we were convinced that everybody on the crew thought we were actually stoned, but we weren't. But that made us laugh even harder, and a lot of that got captured on film.
Cool. So what's up next for you?
Well, I'm gonna probably take it.
All right, pause it there. Pause it there.
Tell me about the pot.
This was about a 6-minute interview that I whittled down to 3.5. So the cool thing was in response to something else. It wasn't just like,
oh, that's an edit.
Yes, that's an edit.
Okay.
It is. All right, go ahead.
A lot of that got captured on film.
Cool. So what's up next for you?
Well, I'm going to probably take a pretty serious break. I've been going nonstop for quite a while, and I've been on this cross-country tour for about a month and a half. So I'm looking forward to
pause
a bit
it there.
Of rest.
A cross-country tour. What's he even doing in Dallas? Like, I don't even know what he was doing here. I'm on a cross-country tour in a limo calling young men that work at radio stations? Like, what?
Well, I think that may have been the same press tour in which he talked to Walonski, and Walonski has a story about him.
Did he make a move on him?
That was the first inkling I had ever heard about Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
Was after you and Walonski had talked to him.
Okay. That we both had a similar story?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get to the story here in a second. Go on.
So I'm looking forward to a bit of rest. Next year I have another film opening called The Big Kahuna that I did with Danny DeVito. That'll be out probably sometime in April. And beyond that, I don't know. What I'll do next as an actor will surface, but hasn't yet.
Are you surprised at all by the way people treat you as far as the critics and... movie-going public in general? I mean, everybody seems to love you.
Well, I've been given an enormous amount of support, and so much so that sometimes I think the law of averages are I'm due to get hit by a bus any day now. But it's incredibly gratifying. I get numerous letters, and lots of fans have turned out for a number of things that I've done, and it just means a great deal because, you know, I grew up as a film fan, and, you know, I wrote letters to people that I admired, and so I know what it's like on that other end, and it's really quite wonderful.
I read in Playboy that, you know, you eventually want to have a family of your own. Does it kind of freak you out making a movie like American Beauty and knowing that could be the end result?
Pause it there. So again, no one knew he was gay. Like, at all. And I did read in Playboy that, like, he said, not that you can if you're gay, start a family, but...
Right, he wanted a beard.
Yeah, I didn't know any of this, so it's like, in the portrayed in the movie, that's one of the most dysfunctional families ever, but, yeah, go ahead.
That could be the end result?
Well, no, because my examples of a family were not what this movie examines. My parents were married for 46 years and happily married, and... most of the people that I know, whether they're married or not married, are in relationships that are good and healthy and productive. And so I actually look forward to that day.
To a good relationship.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Spacey, paragon of relationships.
So you stop the tape, and then he's like, so what are you doing later?
Excuse me. So, oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So... He said, if you're not doing anything later on tonight, I would love for a local to show me the city.
Hell yeah.
And I said...
Have you ever heard of a place called Zippers, Corby?
And I said, oh, do you want some restaurant recommendations? Or where are you driving around right now? I remember talking to him about this, and he was like, well... would love it if you could squire me about town and show me some of the sights. And I'm like,
cool.
Yeah, I
do I need to bring my own roofies?
I'm like, I don't know. Can I bring my fiance or see? Because I think I was engaged at the time, and it just, I was like, I don't. You know, I got your driver's number. I'll call you back or whatever. And I didn't think anything of it too much. And maybe it was, I don't know when we started talking about Kevin Spacey in terms of maybe hitting on younger people, but it got weird after a while.
So, Gordon, what was the Wolanski story? Do you know details?
You know, I feel uncomfortable because I don't know if he's ever shared the story or not, or whether he's been, you know.
No, I think he's been open about it.
Yeah, I'm sure he would enjoy you telling it right now.
Well, I don't know the story to tell. I just remember him saying that at the, that he felt like, that he said that Kevin Spacey was coming on to him the whole time he was interviewing him. That's what I remember him telling me. And I'm like, what? Kevin Spacey? I was thinking, gosh, Robert, what are you talking about? You think you're that attractive that everyone's just hitting on you?
And
but of course,
we come to learn that
he is that attractive.
That Spacey was, he cast a wide net.
Yeah.
And it was anybody and everybody.
Yeah. That he was always on the prowl, and it didn't matter if it was press or if it was young actors looking for a mentor. Or if it were students when he was working at, the Globe Theater in England or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would
watch
anything that moved.
A two-parter?
I did not see it. Did you?
Yeah.
Is it creepy as hell?
It's very creepy.
Yeah. Yes. And the crazy thing is they all have similar stories about how his face just totally changes and he gets... really aggressive, and it's almost like he's possessed.
Yeah, it's like he has that charming aspect of him, and he is trying to break down your barriers with charm, but then he gets to a point where he feels like he's about to close the deal, and that's when the switch flips, and he just turns animalistic, and he just wants to get his.
God, it could have been me.
Could have. I wish it had.
In the bed, I... You do.
Would you have done it, Corby? Just to have the story?
Yeah, just to have the story.
Yeah, God, this could be a great story.
I can't wait to tell Chris.
And my wife. They're going to love this.
Cool.
Did win an Oscar.
He, yes. How many guys have had sex with Kevin Spacey in the back of a limo with a P1 driver?
The P1 driver. Look, he's just trying to, on his flip phone, trying to get some snaps of Corby bent over the back seat.
Right.
Oh.
Well, there you go. Mm. There is Kevin Spacey.
Lovingly.
Loving. So
great.
All right,
Twitch
Gordon.
Tonight, 7:35.
Ah, twitching.
Twitch, yeah, indeed.
Twitch.tv/actualGordonKeith, P1 Hangout.
And all right, we'll see you tomorrow at Summer Chill, bruh.
Indeed.
Indeed, indeed. All right, thanks, Gordon. We'll talk to you later.
All right, love you.
Love you, too. There he goes, the great Gordon Keith.